Thanksgiving. Let's stop talking about Christmas because we're not quite there yet. Let's jump into Thanksgiving. And let's first and foremost start with the word of the Lord. And so if you've got your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And Sean, if you'd go ahead and come on up and prepare to read for us this morning. And I just ask that you would just join me in standing out of respect for God's word. And if you're not familiar with this, or this is your first time at Central, this is just something that we do out of respect for God's word. It's not anything magical, but we just feel God's word and his revelation is of the most importance to us, and so we want to posture ourselves to be reminded of that. So Sean, I'll pass it off to you.
Okay. Good morning, church family. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That is the word of the Lord for this morning. You may be seated.
Church, pray with me. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, such a small text, but yet one that is so important for us as we are called to something that really should characterize us as your people, this call to rejoice, this call to pray, and this ultimate call to just be thankful in all circumstances. And Father, I just want to pray this morning that as we come to this, as we think about these things, as we come to this kind of benchmark moment in our year that we celebrate every year of Thanksgiving, that, Lord, we might have an opportunity to just pause and be mindful of what you've called us into and how it is that we can be thankful, even in the world in which we live, even in the circumstances in which we are in, good or bad. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow in this, that you would help us to learn in this, and Father, ultimately, that through our thanksgiving and our rejoicing in you, that we would also be a light to those around us. And so, Father, I just pray your blessing upon our time this morning and ask that you would give us your favor and ultimately, Lord, that you would be exalted in all things. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we come into Thanksgiving, and I'm not sure how you enter into this season. I mean, it's certainly been a different one. We're kind of thinking about Thanksgiving, at least my guess is, I know in our house we are, a little bit different than we have before. I'm guessing some traditions are being broken in ways that they haven't been broken. I'm thinking you're taking certain things into consideration that you never have, like traveling and whether you should or shouldn't travel. And looks like some people chose to do that as we're a little bit smaller numbers today. But there's all kinds of things that are making us think differently about this year. My guess is, especially if your family doesn't look all exactly like you or think like you, that even some of the conversations around your Thanksgiving table might feel just a little bit more loaded and tense this year as you talk about COVID-19 and masks and lockdowns and elections and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm guessing it's going to look different. Even football is going to look different. No fans in the stadiums. Some people aren't even choosing to watch it because they don't like the political stuff that's going on. And so, like, it just feels like everything seems odd, doesn't it? Like, this whole year has felt that way. At least it has for me. And so when it comes to this idea of Thanksgiving, like, how do we come to this? How should we come to this holiday, this moment, this benchmark moment in our year and in our lives and our time? And then I'm thinking about, like, everybody, can everybody in this country, everybody in our world give thanks in all circumstances? I'm not sure that's the case. And I'm not sure that that's a reality, but for us as believers, this is our call. This is something that, as I already said, should characterize the way that we live and the way other people see us. It's not about what the culture tells us to be thankful in. It's not about how the world perceives the things that are going on. We're commanded, we're called in this text to give thanks in all circumstances. And so my hope is today, as we come to this idea and as we talk about this, is that we would be encouraged and we would be equipped to be a people of thanksgiving in all spaces and in all parts of our lives. And so, as we jump into this, I want to start in the easiest place for us to start when it comes to Thanksgiving, and that is when we can be thankful in the bountiful. Now, that's a good Thanksgiving word, right? bounty. We think about like all this stuff on our tables and all of the good things that we'll get to eat, and that brings a lot of images to our minds. But I think it's oftentimes easy for us to think about being thankful when everything's going pretty well, when things are pretty good, when we're around people that we love, when there's no challenges in our lives. You know, I just got the opportunity as a family, we did, to celebrate our son, Ethan, his birthday here just in late October. And we had a great time. We had family over. We had some friends over. We got to have some AJ's Pizza, which I personally think is the best pizza in town. And we got ice cream cake. We had games and presents. And it was just a fun time. Like, there's a lot to be thankful in those moments, isn't there? Like, it's easy for my son to feel thankfulness for getting those moments. We can be thankful for his life. We can be thankful for our friends. We can be thankful for the gifts that are around us. It's easy. It's easy to come by thankfulness in those moments. But I think one of the challenges this year, at least in some of our lives, is that it might seem like it's a little harder to find the places where we feel God's benefit, his blessing, his hand. It might be a little harder for us to be thankful as we've experienced all kinds of challenges in this year. But in the seasons of health, security, excess, new beginnings, beautiful weather, freedom, peace, man, we'd think that thankfulness would just flow from our lips. And I think that a lot of times, and a lot for a lot of us, and in a lot of respects, that it does. But I do think we need to ask the question for all of us, what are we actually thankful for, and who are we actually thankful to? Like, are we thankful to ourselves, to luck, to just good random chance that happens into our lives? Are we thankful for our own strength, our own goodness, our own wisdom to be able to navigate the challenges of this world? Like, even as you think about those that don't know Jesus, who are they thankful to? Like, what are we being thankful towards? And not only that, but in the midst of plenty, I think that there are some challenges. I think there are some dangers for us that we may not even really be aware of. Some things that come a little bit more difficultly to us. I know that thankfulness might be on our lips, but is it in our hearts? And so a couple of dangers that I think that we need to be aware of. One is the danger of pining. I don't know if you know what that definition of the word is, but it simply means this. It's an overwhelming longing for something or someone or for some moment. And I chose that because our entire culture, our entire world is bent towards not a contentment, but a constant drive and pining for the next thing, aren't they? Like, isn't that true of our world? I personally feel it in every part of my life. I feel it in every joy that I experience, that you start to look for the next joy, the next adrenaline rush, the next season of life. Like, I remember being in high school thinking, man, I just can't wait till I'm in college. And then when I was in college, I was like, man, I can't wait till I get out of college and I want to get into my career. And then it was, man, I can't wait to get married. And then I can't wait to have kids. And then I can't wait for my kids to be out of the house. That's not true, actually. We love our kids, but nonetheless, you see what I'm saying? Like, we want these next seasons, right? It may be retirement for us, but we're always thinking about, man, the next season, the next trip, the next exhilaration of unwrapping a new toy or a new thing, the next moment of growth that we can experience in our lives. I watch this play itself out in every single birthday and every single Christmas in my house. Like, and if you have kids, you've probably experienced the same thing, right? They get all these presents, they get all these wonderful things, and like by the end of the night, they're like, Dad, can I go on Amazon and browse? Can you take me to Target so that I can spend my gift card? Like, right? Like, that's the norm. Like, think about it, even the way that our culture is kind of set up. We have Thanksgiving, and then what's the next day? Black Friday. Like Cyber Monday. Now it's like a whole week because we don't spend enough money on Black Friday. Like, we're even set up in our culture to be like, thank you for all this wonderful stuff. Now let's go get more, right? And we don't think about it. And you might be thinking to yourself, man, that's just normal. And here's the thing. I think it is. That's the point. It's normal. That's our nature. That's who we are, like our nature. And what's normal for us is to pine for the next thing, to look to the next thing, to find the joy in the next thing. And here's the thing that I think that we've got to be careful of. Even in the moments of blessing, and even in the moments of good times, and even in the moments of bounty, if we aren't aware of this part of our nature, then we'll be enslaved to it. We're going to be enslaved to it because you'll never be able to be in the moment. You'll never be able to be content in the thing that we have. So that's one danger that we need to be mindful of in bounty. Another danger we need to be reminded of and mindful of is the danger of reciprocity. And you say, what in the world does that mean? Well, here's what it means, and it's just very simply, it's the idea that we get something by doing something, right? Or if I do this, then this is going to happen. Now, you know, this has played itself out in millennia over the ages as people have gone to gods in pagan worship to thank them for blessings out of fear that if they don't, that they're going to get punished, that they're going to get the blessings taken away from them. Right? Like this is part of us, our mindset oftentimes, that there's this danger that, man, like this has been a great year for me. If I don't thank God, man, he's going to be mad at me and he might take it all away. And you say, man, I would never think that. And yet it sneaks its way in oftentimes in the most subtle of ways. Even when we think about like how we pray for our meals, like I know for myself a temptation is that I can just pray for my meals because I'm just supposed to, because it's just a tradition. And so when we sit down, it's like, Lord, thank you for the provision that's before us, but I'm not really entering into the throne of the holy God and thanking him for his provision. It feels more like, man, if I don't pray for this, it's going to feel like I'm wronging him or I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. And so it feels like it's a duty. And I think that this can easily slip into our lives. And when we look at this text, and we look at what Paul is calling us to in 1 Thessalonians, we need to see that thankfulness is a state of the heart that should characterize the believer. And it's not dependent upon our circumstances. And here's the important point. It's dependent upon him. It's dependent upon him. We can be thankful in good circumstances, but we should also be thankful in the adverse circumstances. And that's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like it's easy to say, but when you get in the midst of them, that's hard. Especially to move away from just words and actually move to our hearts, right? Like sometimes even as Christians, we can kind of put on a front where when difficult things come, we can say words of thanksgiving, but it's really hard to feel that in our homes. I think that this is really important for us in this season because I'm guessing that there is a lot that has happened in your life and in my life, not just in this year, but maybe in the moment that you're living it in right now where you say, like, how can we be thankful for that? How can I be thankful for that circumstance? How can I be thankful for my business having to shut down or this, that, or the other? And I think we've got a whole list of that we bring into this place. And I think when we come to these moments of adversity in our lives and we think about thankfulness, what tends to happen is we want to think in the hindsight. And so here's what I mean. Something bad happens. And what we do to encourage our souls is, you know, 5-10 years down the road, God's going to show me how he did a work in it. And then I can be thankful for it. And so I'll be thankful for something that's going to happen into the future. And so we look to the hindsight. And listen, that's certainly true. And that's certainly something that we should do. But what's fascinating in this text to me is that Paul writes that we should give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Not after them, but in them. In the moments of bounty. In the moments of want. In the moments of sickness. In the moments of hardship. In the moments of pain. In the moments of death. It's not an issue of hindsight. What if hindsight never comes? Like, I'm sure we've all experienced that in our lives, where something difficult just doesn't pass. It just doesn't go away. I mean, think about Paul writing about thankfulness in prison. Like, and for him, that didn't go away. Like, he ended up being beheaded, and he knew it was coming. And yet, in the midst of that circumstance, he knew that he was to be thankful. And he was calling the church to thankfulness. And I think about my own life, and there's some difficulties that pass, and there's some that don't. I think about just the difficulties within our own kind of adoption journey. Many of you know that we adopted Jade, and listen, some of those difficulties, they're not going away. Like, we wish they were going away, but they're not. Can I be thankful in that moment? When Ethan was a baby and he had to go into the hospital for a week because of RSV, and while he was in there and he was attached to all of the wires and the oxygen and all the stuff that was there going on, and they came in and did some heart things and said, hey, he's got some heart challenges as well. Like, could I be thankful in that moment? Not just after, but can I find thankfulness in that moment? Like, that was hard. It was really hard. When I was younger and I started to follow Jesus Christ and I began to find and realize the enslavement that I was experiencing as I engaged in lust and pornography, and I started to fight and battle into that struggle, like, could I be thankful in the midst of that struggle or only after the struggle? Do you see what the difference is? Can we be thankful in the circumstance, in the moment? I think the answer is yes. And we're going to talk about how in a few minutes. But before we talk about just our circumstances, we also see that Paul tells us to be thankful because or for everything. Hear Paul in another context, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. We're to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the emphasis is on thankfulness. And it's not dependent upon the moment, it's not even dependent upon the thing, but always because and for everything that happens in our lives. Those who don't know the Lord, or who are younger in the faith, or maybe just younger in life, may say, man, there's no way. Like, that is not possible. There's no way that's possible to be thankful for everything, to be thankful for my junky car that breaks down all the time, to be thankful for the job where I get passed over all the time for the promotion or doesn't really meet all of my needs. How can I be thankful for that? Be thankful for my phone that I can't even see anymore because of all the cracks in the screen, right? How can I be thankful for these things? Like, there's no way I can do that. And even as believers in Jesus Christ, like, how can we do that? I find this to be one of the most difficult things. And frankly, as a Christian, it's easy for me to just go, oh man, that's a nice command. But how? How can I actually be thankful for these things? I want to. I really do. I mean, I'm talking to myself personally here. Like, I want to be thankful, but it's hard. And many of you may not feel thankful for a lot of circumstances that you're experiencing right now. You may not feel thankful for a lot of things that are going on in your life. But I actually believe that learning what I'm about to share is one of the most transforming things in the life of a believer, and can be one of the most transforming things for the life of someone who hasn't put their trust in Jesus Christ. I mean, think about 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray all the time, give thanksgiving in all circumstances. And then you go to Ephesians 5:20, look at something and catch something that Paul says. We are to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those two small words, to and in, are so important, aren't they? See, our thanks isn't just for anything. Our thanks is to Him. It is a directed thanks. I can remember as a kid, when I was young, just being frustrated. And I think most kids are, but just being frustrated with discipline, with chores, with vacations that I didn't necessarily want to go on. We had a big, giant Econoline van, one of those even cool ones that had the little sink, and I hated driving in that thing for long trips. Or even like restaurants that we would go to, and I'd be like, oh, I don't want to go to this restaurant. I only want to go to McDonald's. right? And so I can remember feeling that kind of frustration as a kid of those things, and I didn't like this, and I didn't like that. And here's what's the reality of that is that all I was seeing was me. All I was seeing was myself. All I was seeing was my wants, my things, what I wanted to get right now in that moment. It's like the T-Mobile commercial that we saw like 700 times when we were watching It's a Wonderful Life this year. It says, I want it all and I want it now. Like they sing that over and over in the T-Mobile commercial. Like, I want it all and I want it right now. That's exactly how I was in those moments. And I missed that I had good, godly, yes, imperfect, but good, godly parents that were behind those things. And there was purpose and intent behind those things. Because all I could see was myself. And I wasn't even aware of it. And I wasn't even aware of them. And I wasn't aware of their hearts. See, our thanks isn't or shouldn't be in a thing or in a moment, but should be towards and to God in Jesus. Why? Let me give you a couple of texts to illustrate before I get into the specifics of what we can do. Romans 8, 37 through 39. No, in all these things, in all what things? These things, Paul's talking about tribulations, difficulty, good times, bad times. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a text. Romans 8, 28, one you may be familiar with if you've been around the church, but and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So here's the thing. In Christ, we are secure in our ultimate conquering above all things. Because there is a loving, good, caring, and almighty God that is not only behind this world and its movement, but is with us in the midst of every single one of us. That sickness, it will be conquered. Your poverty, conquered. Fear, conquered. Your sin, conquered. Ungodly government, conquered. Persecution, conquered. Friends, no matter what the circumstance is, we can lay out in this room right now, we can put our hope and our trust in the one who is moving history towards an end and the one who has defeated and conquered the most important thing, death. Like, our thanks is in him. Even when we are confronted with good but lesser things, we should still be directed towards him. And thankful towards him. We need to be anchored to these truths. And church, I want you to hear this. We need to be anchored to these truths before the adverse times, before the trial and temptation comes, because the enemy would come to tempt you to say he's not for you, he's against you. And that is not the case for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there are also, these truths are no less true in the midst of difficulty and hardship. With this in mind, I want to call your attention to a prayer of thanksgiving. And I want you to get a pen or paper out, and I want you to write this down. It's a text of scripture. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 through 36. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 36. And I want to encourage you to read that this week. I would even encourage you to read that entire text at your Thanksgiving table this week, whether it's with your spouse or whether it's with your family or whether it's with a group of friends. Read 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 through 36. And I'm not going to read the whole thing for the sake of time, but I want to draw out two principles that we find in this text that can help us be thankful in all circumstances. Things that we can do that can help us to see why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians that it's actually the will of God that we rejoice and be thankful in all circumstances. The first principle is this. Seek him. Seek him. In Chronicles, David calls us to seek him, to seek his strength, and to seek his presence. Why? Because, see, our thankfulness is found in him, in the midst of our circumstances. So here's the thing. I mentioned difficulty that we've experienced in our adoption journey with Jade, as Karen and I, we've kind of walked through just honestly a lot of very hard things. And we have tried, oftentimes in failure, but we've tried to listen and be obedient to 1 Chronicles' call in verse 11. And here's what it says. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Here's what we have found. Him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that when you're in the midst of a difficult time, and he calls us to seek him in the midst of his time, in that difficult time, we find him. We find him. As we've walked through trauma and hurt and frankly some rebellion and just difficulty, man, you know what we get to see? A truer picture of what true love is. We are seeing a clearer picture of how he must see us every single day. Like these kids who just fight back all the time, even amidst grace and mercy. And you're like, why are you doing this? Like, I feel like I get to see a picture of myself, and we get to see that he bestows every single day upon us that grace and mercy, even when we fail. Like, God has deepened our understanding of that as we've sought him in it. And he's deepened my rest in that, in my relationship with him, as we've sought that. In view of that, the Spirit has grown my patience, believe me. He's grown my mercy and my grace and love. And he has been strengthening us as we try to love our daughter. And more and more and more, I realize my dependency on him, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. And not only would I not trade it for anything, I'm thankful for it. And for all of you who would say, man, like, my whole goal in life is to avoid the hard and to avoid stepping into the hard so that I can maintain my comfort, I would tell you this, man, Jesus is found in the hard. And when you seek him in the midst of it, you will find him in a way that you never thought possible. And you will say, man, I'm so glad that I have this. I'm so glad that I'm experiencing this. Amen? Like, I'm thankful for the circumstance that we continue to walk through. I'm thankful that it is turning for eternal good in my life and in my family's life. You know, when I was talking about being a young man and I was fighting that battle with lust in my mind and dealing with that, I mentioned that before, as I did that and as I walked through that process, and I know that's an uncomfortable thing to discuss and talk about, but as I struggled with that, I found effort wasn't ever going to be enough. And I started to find that as I sought him and I sought his strength and I sought his presence, that there was a better joy in his presence than any physical pleasure in this world. You won't find that. And so I was thankful for the struggle. Doesn't mean I didn't want it to go away, but I was thankful for the struggle. And I began to praise God even more for the hope of conquering fully one day. What a beautiful thing. In finding him and turning our eyes off of the thing or the circumstance or the moment or the feeling that is going on within us, either good or bad, and it's not all just bad, we will find the love of a Father who never leaves us, who has conquered all things, in fact, the greatest of enemies for us in sin and death, and is using everything for our eternal good. Eternal good, that's far more important than our temporal good. And I challenge you this week to take a look at those hard circumstances and seek him in it, seek his strength in it, and seek his presence continually in the midst of it. I promise you, you'll find him. I promise you'll find him. second thing that we can do and the second thing that we find in 1 Chronicles is this command to glorify him. And you say, how in the world does that help me grow in my thankfulness in all circumstances? Well, here's the thing. As you fix your eyes on him, consider his character, his deeds of the past, both in history and in your own life. Consider his promises. And as you do so, in the midst of adverse situations, you will begin to say with David, 1 Chronicles 16:29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come before him. Now here's the thing. Think about David for just a minute. Some of you don't know much about David, so let me just give you a snapshot of some of the life moments, the benchmark moments of David. David was the last son in the family of Jesse. That's not a good place to be. You don't get a lot out of that. He was a shepherd, not a good vocation. That's not like the high CEO of a business. I mean, he's out in the field taking care of his brother's inheritance, essentially. Right? So he's a shepherd. A guy comes along and anoints him as king. Then he goes and defeats a Goliath, a giant. And then he gets into the good graces of that king. He makes a good friend. And then that king threatens his life. And he has to run. And he begins to run. And he has to run for his life. And he lives in a cave. And he has to pretend to be crazy. He has to live with the enemy. He watches his good friend die. He gets brought up and exalted as king. He gets to live in a palace. He gets to have, he has lots of wives, which may or may not be a good thing, depending on how you think of that, right? It's not a good thing, by the way. He sins. He's disciplined. He loses a son. He has to leave his home because another son tries to take the throne from him. So again, he's running from his life, for his life. Then he watches that son die. Takes a census, a plague comes upon the land. He's told he doesn't get to build the temple. In all of that, how in the world can this man walk through such a life and ascribe glory to God? How does he do it? How does he do this? He does it because he focuses on the character of God. See, here's the thing. As we seek him, and as we begin to give glory to him and who he is, it reminds us of who he is. And it helps us to look not to our circumstance, but to him. So you know what we'll get to be reminded of? We'll get to be reminded of his good. We'll get to be reminded of his power. We'll get to be reminded of his love, his eternity, his eternal presence, his wisdom. We'll get to be reminded of the fact that he died for us. This is exactly what David does. He gives God glory. In verse 34, he points to that he is good, and he points to his steadfast love, which endures only when he's in the palace? No, when he's also in the cave. See, he looks to the steadfast love of God in all circumstances. Then in verse 15 of 1 Chronicles, he looks to his promise. He looks to his covenant. So in the midst of a hard space, he gives God glory for his promises. And in verse 14, he's reminded and gives God glory for being the just judge. And here's what that means, is that all the wickedness that was coming against him, he knows he can trust the Lord to take care of it. And he will one day. Fully and wholly, he will one day. Every single thing that we are thankful for will leave us in this life. It'll all fail us except him. He won't. He will never fail us. He will never leave us. His character will be sure no matter what your circumstance is. And as you seek him and as you give glory to him, this isn't just lip service. This isn't just something we say. This is something that we have in our hearts and we live in our hearts, and it draws us back into who he really is. When there's nothing else to be thankful for, his character, his wonderful works, his protection, his promises, then they're worthy of thanksgiving because he is who he is. So seek that. Focus there. In the midst of any circumstance, ascribe him glory. And one thing is true, and I'm gonna go back to the danger of pining. I already said it, but all those things that we pine for, the different seasons of life, the different moments of our life, different relationships. The promise is always that the grass will be greener on the other side, isn't it? Right? Isn't that the promise? And tell me one time where you've gotten into that grass where you didn't realize it was brown too. Right? But you know what? There is a place where the grass actually is greener. And it's with Christ. And it's with eternity, with him in eternity, in a new heaven and a new earth. And the grass is greener there. And what more can we be thankful for? What more should we pine for than that? Scripture is clear. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. So let's pine for that. Let's actually seek the right grass. A place where things don't rot and they don't get taken away and they don't leave us wishing for more. And it's assured by his promise, it's assured by his character and the truth that those who are in him, nothing can separate us from him. Not even the most adverse situations. And he's with us in it. Remember back in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice, pray, give thanks, because it is the will of God. Friends, this is not an egomaniac who needs something from us. This isn't about him. It's not his will because he needs to be made to feel better or he needs us to say thank you. This is a good father who wants to see his children experiencing joy and rest and peace and contentment and trust and fulfillment and hope and freedom and love. He's calling us to seek him and to glorify him because he made us for him. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. This isn't his will for his sake, it's his will for our sake, that we would find him, because we've been reconciled to God through the work of Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't have to believe me if you don't trust in Jesus today. But here's the thing, I don't know what you have to be thankful for without this. And I'm not trying to be depressive for those of you who don't know the Lord, but I don't know what you have to be thankful for. I don't know what you have to be thankful towards. Who are you thanking? And at the end of the day, on Thursday, every single joy that you try to be thankful for should bring an equal amount of sorrow because it's going to fade. What are we thankful for? As believers, we know. We're thankful for him. And we're thankful to God in Jesus Christ. And man, that is the hope we all have on Thursday. No matter what the circumstance we have, he hasn't left us. We can be thankful because there's a person behind our hope. Jesus, because of him, we can actually find what we were made for. We can be conquerors through Jesus. That's what communion is every week that we celebrate. And at this time, if you don't have a communion, you can go ahead and raise your hand. We've got some folks that'll pass those out to you. But as we come to this time, believers, no matter what the circumstance, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be assured that you will be a conqueror over that. Because he laid his life down for us. That he laid his life down so that when we seek him, we might actually find. He's opened up the door so that we could go into the presence of God, that we could find the fullness of joy, and that we could find real thankfulness in the midst of that. And so as the church come to this morning, I'm reminded of his body that was broken for us and his blood that was spilt for us, that is the hope that we have to be thankful for. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, and you're listening to this, whether it's listening in this room or whether you're listening online and you're thinking about this and you're like, man, I don't know what I have to be thankful for. Listen, he's calling you into relationship with you, with him. He's calling you to be reconciled back to God that you may find the one you were made for and find real joy and rest and peace. And everybody in this room at some level who's experienced Jesus Christ can testify to that. Amen? That's what we can be thankful for. And so I pray that as we take of this communion this morning, that you would ponder, what do you have to be thankful for? Because as the church, we have Christ. And so church, if you go ahead and take out the bread of this communion, which symbolizes and helps point to the remembrance of Jesus our Lord, that he broke his body for us, for his church, for his people. And church, take of this juice that represents his blood, which was spilled for us that we might be reconciled to him. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being found when we seek. We thank you for being our strength when we are weak. We thank you for inviting us into your presence through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, where we can find satisfaction and joy. Nothing else in this world holds those things for us. They're all shadows. They all pale in comparison. Every piece of food that we will eat, every good gift that we are given, pales in comparison to you, Lord. And only those who have tasted you can testify to that. And I pray, Father, that you would help stir our hearts towards that this Thursday. Lord, that you would encourage our hearts towards that this Thursday. That no matter what the circumstance is, that we would seek you and that we would bring glory to your name, that we would seek to glorify your name for who you are, that we might then have thankfulness in our hearts. Father, I pray for those in this room, those listening right now that may not know you, Lord, stir in their hearts as well. Man, that this is available to them through the work of your Son. And so, Father, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. As Steve leads us in this last song, I want to invite our prayer counselors, elders, pastors, if you'd go ahead and come on up to the front. And then I'd invite the rest of you to stand with me. And I would just encourage us all in this moment that this is a time for us to respond. This isn't just a song we sing at the end of our service just because it's fun to transition out into the next thing. We want to provide an opportunity for you to respond. Maybe you want to pray with somebody about seeing who God is or how to seek after him, or you need some encouragement, or maybe you're in an adverse circumstance and you're just feeling like the Lord's not listening to you and you want to pray with someone. We're here to do that for you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to place your faith in Jesus Christ. You want to walk away from this space and be like, man, I want to have something real to thank God for and be thankful for on Thursday. We want to talk with you as well. And so this is a time for you to respond. Just come down to the front and talk to one of these up to the front. And I know that they would love to do that. If you're listening online or if you're in the room and you're not comfortable, you can text. Just text respond and we'll get back with you and then we'll connect with you. And you can text 316-202-9767. But this is a phenomenal opportunity for us to respond to the word of God and which we heard this morning.